one thing I realized before I started doing this was that Sundays took forever to come. But now that I'm doing it, Sunday comes around very quickly. You know, you get to the middle of the week and you're thinking, what? I got to prepare for Sunday. But it's always an opportunity that I do not take and a privilege that I don't take lightly. And so just say hello to the person sitting next to you. All right. Hello. Yes, thank you. Yes. Yes, she is. What I would just like to encourage you today as we, this is a series that we're beginning this week, and it's about us being yielded to the Lord. A few weeks ago, nearly a month ago now, as you were coming off Leech Highway onto Carroll Avenue, there were people that had set up a protest, and they were protesting because they wanted more rights for refugees. So they went and they camped, they put up their gazebos, and they, you know, waving their cards and telling us what rights they desire. And so I thought, oh, that's nice. You know, they did it one day, 2 days, and then 3 days turned into eight turned into 10 into 15 into 20, 25 into 30, and then 31, 32, 33, 34, 35, 36. And so as each time I would pass there, I would ask myself the question, geez, these guys are keen, very desirous to get what it is that they wanted. But I think that I recognized as well that it's one thing to say you want something. It's completely different to begin to seek after what it is that you want. And so they just didn't say, we want more rights for refugees so they can get access to schooling for their children, they can get access to Medicare and all of that. They began to put their money where their mouth was. And they were willing to pay the price. And I wonder for you, if you're wanting to seek things in your life, and to all our young people here and to all everybody, is that if you want something, you are going to have to determine one thing. Am I willing to pay the price for what it is that I claim that I want? Because if you're not willing to pay the price, you will always settle for less. You will always settle for second best. The reason I know this, and the reason so many of us in this place know this, is because we've lived long enough to know that what you want in life, you go for. The key question is that, are you willing to pay the price? And so my encouragement today, and as we start this series, is don't miss your moment because of fear. Because of frustration, fear in the sense that you're too scared to get started. And so you will always say, I will do it tomorrow, and tomorrow, I'll do it tomorrow. And we all know that when we start to do that, guess what happens to tomorrow? Tomorrow never comes. We wait for perfect conditions. When such and such has happened, then I will do this. But unfortunately, there will never be perfect conditions. There will always be reasons why you shouldn't step out into everything that you desire and dream for, and even to step into the purposes of God for your life. Don't let frustration. The Lord has told you something, has given you a promise, and you think to yourself, geez, this is taking forever to come. So guess what? I'm frustrated. Well, so God, you can get stuffed. I'm doing my own thing. Or doubt, you begin to doubt yourself. And the question we normally ask ourselves when we begin to doubt ourselves and we start to talk ourselves out of our position is we say, is that God or is it just me? And on most occasions we say, I think it's just me. And then we step back into our comfort zone and we never get outside our comfort zone. So as we embark on this series, we're going to be going through the journey that Abraham took with the Lord. And we recognize that Abraham's life was yielded to what God wanted for him. And so we know that yielding to God is often easier said than done. It involves deep levels of trust, of surrender, and obedience. And so sometimes when life's realities seem to contradict God's promises, we stop moving forward because we're saying that, God, what you promised and what you said, it's taking so long. Therefore, it mustn't be true that what you promised me is actually going to come to pass. Abraham's life paints a complex portrait of faith and humanity. He was known as a man of great faith. You know, he's remembered as a righteous man, committed wholeheartedly to God. He interceded for Sodom and Gomorrah when God was about to destroy the city, and he continued to intercede on their behalf. He settled disputes with integrity with the people that were coming up around him. And of course, he was a hospitable man. He was very hospitable to strangers. He was a warrior. He rescued his nephew Lot from captivity when Lot was taken captive. But yet, Abraham was a human being that had human weaknesses. When things were going up against him, he lied to protect himself. He told the Egyptians that his wife Sarai was his sister to avoid danger, allowing her to be taken into the Pharaoh's group of women that Pharaoh had. But the good thing about Abraham is that his life represents this deep spiritual strength and common human frailty. So on one hand, you've got a man that is, yes, I'm all for God, but at the same time, we have a man that just had human weaknesses like we all do. He was not a flawless hero, but he was able to yield to God's plans and purposes over time. And I want to say this to parents. In Genesis chapter 11, it says, it talked about Terah's family, which was Abraham's father. And then it says that they used to stay in a place called Ur of the Chaldeans. And it says, it goes on to say in verse 31, one day Terah took his son Abraham, his daughter-in-law, and his grandson, and moved away from Ur of the Chaldeans. He was headed for the land of Canaan, but they stopped at Haran and settled there. Terah lived for 205 years and died while still in Haran. I want to encourage all parents that there is a time and a purpose that you are serving here on earth for your family. Make sure that you take them on the necessary journey that they need to walk so that they can then begin to move closer to the Lord. It will make sense as I continue to go on. So remember, they were staying in Ur of the Chaldeans. Now, this was a group of people that were into idolatry and into idol worship. And so what Terah did is that he separated himself from all that idolatry and began to move elsewhere. And then as we go into chapter 12, it says, the Lord had said to Abraham, leave your native country, your relatives, and your father's family, and go to the land that I will show you. I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt. All the families on earth will be blessed through you. So Abram departed as the Lord had instructed, and Lot went with him. He was 75 years old when he left Haran. He took his wife, Sarai, his nephew Lot, and all his wealth, his livestock, and all the people he had taken into his household, and he headed for the land of Canaan. Now recognize that it tells us here where he was going, but he didn't know where they were going. So when they arrived in Canaan, Abram traveled through the land as far as Shechem. There he set up camp beside the oak of Moreh. At that time, the area was inhabited by Canaanites. Verse 7, then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, I will give this land to your descendants. And Abram built an altar there and dedicated it to the Lord who had appeared to him. After that, he traveled south and set up camp in the hill country, with Bethel to the west and Ai to the east. There he built another altar and dedicated it to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord. Then Abram continued traveling south by stages. Everybody say, by stages. When God is going to take you to where you're supposed to be going, he's not going to take you from day one, the next day you've arrived. He's going to take you through stages. You contrast that and what happened to the Egyptians when God took the children of Israel out of Egypt. He said, I am not going to give you all at once, because if I give it to you all at once, there's going to be chaos that's going to happen. So we have to recognize that as we move forward in what God has for your life, it is going to occur in stages. And it's going to do what? It's going to take time. Your job and my job is to stay connected to the Lord whilst we wait for that opportune time. Another key thing from this passage that I need you to get is that there were certain things that were temporary and there were other things that were permanent. The permanent things that Abram set up in his life that will help guide us is that he set up altars. Now, an altar is a place of prayer. It is a place where we separate ourselves to the Lord. These were permanent structures that were set up. If we are going to be successful and moving forward, then we need to yield to the Lord. We need to never abandon the place of prayer in our lives. Never abandon that altar. And it's quite easy, you know, because we try to accommodate our children and we start to sort of like skip over these things. But there are certain things in our family's life that needs to be permanent. And this is the place of prayer in our family's life. And the best thing you can do for your family is to start whilst they're still young. Setting up that altar. It could be you pray for 5 minutes with them. Who cares? But you do it regularly. That was permanent. Where he lived, Abram lived in a tent. That was temporary. Because guess what he would do? Once you camp here, all right, he packs up the tent and he moves on to the next place, which tells us that we constantly are moving forward towards where God wants us to go. So the permanent thing is going to be the place of prayer in our lives. Without that, it's going to be very difficult for us to tap into and to dial into what God wants to do in our lives. Amen? Because we're all subject to seasons and times. It would make no sense if my wife came in another 20 years' time. By then, I'll be 66 years old. And then we say, you know what? Maybe another 40 years. I'll be 86. And we roll into this church and we say, so imagine we were 86 years old. And we say, we all love the Lord. And guess what? We're going to be starting our new family. And what would you guys say? That's true. Okay. Yes. So you might, you know, you probably say, oh, okay, that's a man that's, he's got lots of faith. But deep down, you probably tell yourself the truth. This man is crazy. I ain't coming back to that church again. And the reason you would say that is because in your hearts and in your minds, you're saying, man, you missed your time. You should have done that 50 years ago. So there is a season and a time for everything in our lives. Our job is to understand the season that we're in so that when the appointed time of God comes, we are able to grab a hold and we're able to move forward in obedience. Remember that it said that the father of Abram left Ur of the Chaldeans and moved to Haran. And then from there, that's the place where God called Abram from. So they came out of idolatry. So you are moving your family away from the way of the world, let us say. And so you are putting them in a position so that when the opportune time comes, God is going to speak. And when he speaks, because he has a plan and a purpose for each and every one of us, he has a plan for your children, for yourself, they would be in a position to hear what it is that God has for them. Amen? So we're going to be those that position your children. That's the job of parents, to position them so that they can go and prosecute the plans of God for their lives going on into the future. That's the role. Whether you're a grandparent, your job is to position your grandchildren so that they can move forward. Do what you can to position your family so that they can grab a hold of whatever plans God has for their lives. So there's a call to step out that we've just sort of like read out. We are not told how God appeared to Abram. He just appeared. But what we do know is that Abram's father put him in position to be able to hear the Lord because they separated themselves from the idolatry that was taking place in Ur of the Chaldeans. And so why the call? Why did that call come to Abram? There are three reasons why God called. He was called because of God's love. He was concerned about the salvation of Abraham. So he reveals his glory and shares his gracious promises. The second reason is that God's purpose was in blessing the world. He said, I will bless you and you'll be a blessing to others. And recognize that Jesus came through this blessing of Abram. And this is why the scriptures, whether it's in Hebrews or Romans, tells us that, you know, Abram was the father of faith and we are saved through Abram's righteousness. And so this is why we recognize that, this is why we call him Father Abraham, because he was the father. Remember that song, Father Abraham. The third thing is that the life of Abram reveals to us Christians today what living by faith looks like for us. If we want to walk by faith, he's got a perfect example of how we do it. Then there was so God calls him, but then something else happened. There was a willingness to step into the unknown. He was willing to step into the unknown because even though the writer tells us that we know he was going to Canaan, he didn't know that. God was saying, come on, let me take you on a journey. Are you going to come with me? It's really good to see many people that have lived a long life. And the reason I say that and the reason why it's special to have people that have lived a long life, they've remained faithful to the Lord even from their young days. Because that's the key thing, is that I believe when I was 19, 20, 15, whatever, but now that I'm in my 60s, 70s, 80s, I am still walking with the Lord. This is why it's important that we are stepping in. When God takes you on a journey, you don't know where your journey is going to go. But you step into that saying, God, I'm going to learn to trust you. And so what happens, you see, is that as we step into this journey with the Lord, we need to develop a new set of skills. We need to develop an ability to hear the voice of the Lord in our lives. Amen. We need to be able to trust God, his promises, despite the uncertainty that we face in our lives. You need to overcome fear. Abraham was able to overcome the fear and step into whatever it is God has for him. Is fear holding you back? stopping you from stepping into whatever it is that God has for your life. If you look at Jonah, remember Jonah in the Bible, the guy was eaten by the whale. Instead of stepping into everything that God had for him, he allowed fear and prejudice to stop him from obeying the Lord. We cannot let fear stop us from stepping into whatever it is that God has for us. Whether he's got you to do to get a higher position in your job, to go for a promotion, sometimes fear will hold us back because we are so scared of the uncertainty that takes place when we don't step out in fear. Now, I'm not suggesting that you just quit your job. What I am suggesting is that you do your homework first. Do your homework, do your research, and then when the call of God comes, you step out in faith. The fear of like, if I buy a house, will I be able to afford the repayments? And so sometimes what then happens is that we stay within our comfort zone because we're so fearful that I can't step out because I don't know what's actually going to happen to me. So we learn from Abraham that we have to overcome our fear so we can step into all the promises that God has for us. So are there areas in your life where you are resisting God's call due to fear or uncertainty? Are there areas of your life where you are resisting God's call due to fear or uncertainty? And what can happen sometimes is that we switch off. God is always speaking to us. And sometimes even our desires, you know, we have desires to reach out for more, to do more. But guess what stops us? We just think, oh, no, that can't be the Lord. That's just me. I'm not going to do it. And so you resist that voice that is saying, because you got to understand this, that our spirits want a fuller expression. We want to constantly be growing. And so when we have these ideas that come in our minds that say, oh, I want to do this, the next voice that you hear will tell you, shut up, you know you can't do that. Because it restricts. But our spirit is seeking fuller expression. It wants to grow and grow. This is why you find there are some people that are actors, and at the same time, they are singers, because there's always this desire for fuller expression. But at times, we allow voices to come and to limit where it is that we want to go. And therefore, it then becomes very hard for us to yield to the voice of God, to trust in his direction, and then to step out in faith. So the question I have for us today is that, are we going to allow God to lead us into the unknowing, knowing that his plans are greater than our fears? Will you allow God to lead you into the unknowing? Is anybody, can I just have the guitar? Thank you, Aaron. We don't want to miss the moments in our lives. When I arrived in Port Hedland in 2011, I had committed to myself and said, you know what, I am not going to be doing any of this church leadership stuff. All I'm going to do is just that I'm going to sit, come in on a Sunday, and then go home. And then what happened is that immediately I got there, Pastor David then took me under his wing. He mentored me. And what then happened is that he was going to say, oh, we will, in fact, one time he said to me, I'm going on long service leave and I want you to be responsible for the church. And I said, oh, no, you cannot give that to me. There are other pastors in the church. Give it to them. There, because guess what? You know what? I don't want to step on anybody's toes. And he said to me, no, It's you I am giving the spiritual oversight of the church. And so I reluctantly said, oh, okay. And I did it. Fast forward, we left Port Hedland in 2019, in September, 2007, September 2019. We come to Perth, and then as it happened, something happened here in Kwinana. The guy who was the people that were the leaders, they left. And when they left, there was obviously a vacuum. And one day the pastor, he is having lunch with Pastor David. And he tells him, oh, you know, guess what has happened? Such and such has left. And Pastor David just says, oh, why don't you ask Stephen and Dunami? And just like that, everything fell into place. Now, not saying that I was planning it, but that's how it went. And as it came where they were asking us to say, okay, we would like you guys to take over the church. Frustration had made me close my ears and my eyes to what God wanted for my life. To say, Lord, you are taking so long. So guess what? I don't want to have anything to do with it. But eventually, when the opportunity came, I then said, all right, look, I'll step into it. And that's my encouragement to us this morning, that when we are on this journey, like Abraham's journey was very long, but his obedience led him to God's blessing, that no matter how long it takes for those things that God has said to you, you need to hold on, because you don't know the moment and the time that the Lord is going to speak to you, and then all of a sudden he begins to accelerate the plans. This is why when you read the Bible, it will tell you, the interesting thing about it will tell you about then at the appointed time, at the right time, knowing that my time and God's time are not the same. And my encouragement for you is that never abandon. If you're going to walk this road, whether you're leading a business, whether you're starting a business, whether you've got people that report to you, do never abandon the place of prayer in your life. Because it's going to come at the appointed time when God is going to begin to speak to you, for your family, for your children, where you might have felt that things are taking forever. But he will come at his time to make sure that the plans that he has for your life would come to pass. And we have to look to the life of Jesus, who was completely yielded to God's will. Can we stand this morning as we finish? Jesus was completely yielded to God's will, trusting the Father's plan in everything he did, even when it led him to the cross. In the life of Jesus, we see an example of trusting God fully, despite the cost. You know, it was painful for the Lord to go to the cross. But he said, not my will, but your will be done. There will be opportunities in our life for us to choose what's second best, for us to have that affair. Those opportunities will always be there. Because you're having a difficult time in your marriage, and you think, you know what? This is quite easy. I've got so-and-so here who's feigned some interest in me. I might as well indulge myself. But that's choosing the second best for you. That's not God's plan for your life. It could be young people that, or anybody really, that says, you know, I'm sick and tired of waiting for the Lord. It's taking forever. All my friends are doing stuff that I'm not doing. I feel that I'm missing out. My encouragement to you this day is that hold on, because God has something good for your life. Don't look to what anybody else is doing and think that you're missing out. Hold on to what God has for you. And so my prayer this morning as we finish is I want us to pray for alignment. Just like what the Lord Jesus was like, he constantly sought God's guidance through prayer. We need prayer to align our hearts with God's will. It is our primary tool to yield our fears and our doubts. because it will open us to trust in the Lord. That prayer by Jesus in Gethsemane, that's just the hallmark prayer that we have to recognize, that not my will, but your will be done. Which tells me that my job is that I will never abandon the Word of God. I'm going to get that into me. I'm going to get the Word of God into me. I will never abandon prayer, because the Word of God is what is going to sustain me. So let's pray this morning. Father, I thank you, Lord God, that we can trust you for the outcome. That, Lord, through the life of Abraham, who was human like us, yet you considered him the father of our faith, because he believed in your promise that even at 75 years of age, you promised him that he would have a child, that his descendants would be many. And Lord, even though it didn't seem like it would happen, Father, you waited and you waited and you waited. And at the appointed time, when he was 100 years old and his wife was 90 years old, she gave birth to a son of promise. We thank you, Lord God, that as we yield to you, Lord God, that we would give birth to the promises of God for our lives, the promises of God for our family. And we know, Lord God, that as you lead us through stages. Give us, Father, staying power, that we can stay the distance, Lord God, that we would go the distance, that we would not settle for what is second best in our lives, but we would look to you, because it is you, Lord God, that have called us. You want good things for us and for our family. And so, God, I pray that you would bless your people, that, Lord, we would align our hearts with the Lord Jesus Christ, that said, if it not my will, but your will be done. I just pray, Lord God, for all our young people and everybody in this church, Lord God, that they would always say yes to you, Lord God. That, Father, I thank you for the parents in this place, that they would position their children just like Terah did, move them away from idolatry, so that they would be able to hear the voice of the Lord for themselves and to answer the call of God for their lives. Bless your people this day, I pray, in the wonderful and mighty name of your son, Jesus. And everyone says, amen. So let's sing a song. If you need prayer, just come to the front. And
Lord bless you.